Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
Well, amen. What an incredible blessing tonight to worship the Lord and to hear these powerful testimonies of transformation. And the gospel does change lives, and we are thankful for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, mighty to save. And as we gather here tonight, it is a celebration of all that God is doing through North Central Baptist Church. I am so grateful for your pastor, for Calvin, his leadership, for his friendship. He is an individual who loves the Lord Christ, who loves the church, who loves this church where he serves. And he is a leader among Florida Baptists, leader among Southern Baptists. And I know that you are blessed to have he and Kelly, their family here, along with the staff. And would you just join me in just expressing our appreciation to your pastor and for his awesome leadership here at North Central. God bless you, Calvin. Thank you. As we celebrate tonight all that God is doing, we know that the very DNA of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, leads us to be on mission for the Lord. And missions and evangelism are the DNA of the heart of a church that is sold out unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many churches that are meeting regularly, but they're not impacting the world. There are many congregations that gather all across our land where we see that there are some 80% of churches in America that are plateaued or declining today. In the Southern Baptist life, there are 900 Southern Baptist churches that shut their doors every year. Somewhere along the way, the fire is lost. Somewhere along the way, the mission is put to the side. Somewhere along the way, that understanding of what we are to be about as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer priority one and mission one of the life of the church. There are many things that we could be doing. Anytime we get a diverse group of people together, there are many things that could push itself to the forefront. But the very moment that we choose to not be faithful and fruitful in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the moment that we have forfeited our place of productivity within the kingdom of Almighty God. And so I thank you as a church. You are deeply committed to missions, deeply committed to evangelism. And so tonight, I want to challenge us, because no matter where we are in terms of our commitment of praying and of giving and going, and every Christian can pray, give, and go. No one is omitted from that. My dad, he's 85 years old, and he still participates in mission trips. I keep telling him, Daddy, you don't need to go. I know somebody's having to, you know, hold back and kind of drag you along, but man, he loves it with all of his heart, and he still goes. We had a church we helped plant in New Orleans that my home church in North Alabama partnered with us, and he has been down in the streets of New Orleans witnessing and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has macular degeneration. He's legally blind, but yet he's down there walking the streets of New Orleans. Thank God he's blind in some ways, but he's there telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we never reach a point we can say it's done. We can never reach a point we say I've completed what God wants me to do. We are to be on mission for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, missions is a privilege. It's not what we've got to do, but it's what we get to do. That God chooses to use us. God chooses to use his church, and it is his church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we are a part of God's eternal plan. We're a part of God's eternal purpose. And in our generation, we have received the marvelous privilege of being on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. That should inspire us. That should fire us up every day. Lord, what do you have for me? Who do you desire for me to reach, to love, to touch with this precious message of Jesus Christ and his saving grace and his wonderful mercy? Tonight, I want us just to walk through a passage of Scripture. It's one that is very familiar to probably all who are in this room. If you have been in and around church, and if you have been in and around times where missions and evangelism are being spoken of, because it gives us the final words of our Lord and Savior prior to his ascension into heaven. And if you look into the last days and the last words that Christ spoke, they all focused upon going, they all focused upon telling, they all focused upon reaching the nations with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to think about those verses tonight. And I pray that within your life, that no matter where you are in terms of your commitment, the depth of your sacrifice, that you would hear what the Spirit says through God's word and through your commitment in terms of how God can use you individually, how God can use us collectively, how God can use us corporately to literally turn the world upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at two verses 7 and verse 8. These are the words of our Savior to those disciples, to those apostles, to those followers who would carry forth the gospel as we read throughout the entirety of the book of Acts. In verse 7, he says, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." I love that verse because it reminds me of something very important, and it reminds us of something very important. It reminds us that God knows what we don't know. It reminds us that God sees what we don't see. It reminds us that God has established what we have yet to understand, his kingdom and his kingdom's work. And so this verse says it's really not for us to try to figure all of this out. It's not for us to manage or to manipulate the times or the seasons. That's all in the Father's hand. What we have been called to do is just be faithful within that time and within that season. What we are asked to do is just to surrender ourselves in the midst of the opportunities that God places before our lives, knowing that if we're doing the will of God, if we're faithful to the word of God, if we're submitting to what God is asking us to do, then God, according to his promise, will bless the work of his people. He will bless the work of his church. He sees, he knows. It's not for us to try to discern the times and the seasons. There are two pretty powerful words that are used there for time and season. There are words that help us understand the very work of the Lord. For example, the word time is the word chronos. We get the word chronology from that. From that, we gain seconds and minutes and hours and then days and months and weeks and years. It's chronological time. It's time that we look at on a clock or on a calendar. We all are subject to chronological time. All of us has chronos. We all have 24 hours a day. Some people are able to expand that because they're just productive in God's kingdom's work. And some people can take 24 hours and do less in 24 hours. And some people can do in about 10 minutes, but we all have been given time. We've all been given time to do what God wants us to do. But the other word that is found here, the word seasons, is the word kairos. And kairos is when God intersects, when God breaks in, when God chooses to move in the midst of the chronos of our life to do his powerful and his specific work. And we've all had kairos moments where we just stand in awe of what God is doing. We've heard two testimonies tonight of kairos moments in the lives of individuals. We all have those kairos moments when we say, "Lord, we don't know exactly what you're asking me to do. We don't even understand all of it. But Lord, we're just ready and we're just available." And in the midst of the chronos of our life, God breaks in with fresh oil, fresh wind, fresh fire, a fresh touch, and does what only he can do in the midst of the chronos of our life with a special work that uses our life for his ultimate kingdom's glory. It's not for us to know those times or seasons. It's simply for us to recognize God has given us a privilege to serve him. And it is an honor to live every moment of our life to seek to bring glory unto the one who is worthy of all glory and all praise, Christ Jesus the Lord. And when we're willing to be faithful in the midst of the chronos of our life, then and then alone do we see God breaking in with Kairos seasons, where he takes over and miraculously and supernaturally superintends the work and the ministry of our lives. We find a very clear example of this in the New Testament, in the very ministry of Christ himself. Christ had been performing mighty miracles. He had been healing people who were sick, all types of diseases, all types of infirmities. And now he was moving out into Galilee, where he spent the majority of his earthly ministry. And there he's on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And there are a throng of people who are following him. As a matter of fact, the Bible in John chapter 6 says there were about 5,000 men. Now notice it says men, because they numbered men and not women and others who were there. So if you think about that, if there are 5,000 men, most likely there are spouses and family who are there. There could have been some 8 to 12,000 people who were following after the Lord Jesus Christ. The day was getting late. Chronos. Disciples started kind of looking at the sun and saying, I think it's getting later and later, and we got all these people and they're Baptist and they're hungry. What in the world are we going to do? We can't call 1-800-DOMINOES. There aren't any fast food places. We've got them all here and they're getting a little bit agitated. Jesus, what are you going to do in the midst of this Chronos moment? Now, isn't that interesting? They had walked with Christ. They observed him touching deaf ears and people heard again. Blind eyes and people saw again. Limbs that were lame and they walked again. They had seen the miracles of Christ, but yet in this moment, they couldn't understand that Christ could do a Kairos event in the midst of what was overwhelming to them. And so you recall how the events transpire. The first, the disciples, Philip, spoke up and said, well, we've got 200 denarii, and that's just not sufficient. I mean, this is a ministry of fear. You know, all these people, and this is all we got, there's nothing we can do here. Matter of fact, we might ought to slip out while we still can, because we're going to have some very unhappy people here within a few moments. Jesus, I know they love you, and I know they're wanting to follow you, but when they find out you've got nothing for them, they're not going to be happy. And they allowed fear to overcome them. Philip did within his own heart. We do not have what is sufficient. How many times have we heard that in the life of church? God is moving. God is at work. And all of a sudden, fear overtakes us. And we begin to say, we just don't have enough. What we have is not sufficient. And then we move on in that experience, because then Andrew spoke up. And Andrew said, well, we've got a little boy here, and he's got some loaves and some fish. And but when I look at this throne of people, 5 loaves and 2 fish, what are these among so many? Now we find that Andrew didn't just give up, kind of like Philip. I mean, Andrew had a ministry of addition, because he's thinking, okay, if we get a real sharp knife and we start cutting, we probably can cut this up, and there might be a few hundred people that we could satisfy, but we really can't take care of everyone. We can't do everything that needs to be done. And he had a ministry of addition. It was based on fact. This is what we have, and based on what we have, this is all that we can do. This is all that we can do. How many times have we allowed our ministry be limited because we base it just on the facts, just on what we see? But it's not for us to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own hands. And then there's this little boy. You got to love childlike faith, don't you? His mom had sent him to the market. He's going back. They didn't have refrigeration during that day, so every day they had to make a trip to the market. And so he's coming back. He's got loaves and fish. He's just like any other boy. He sees a crowd. He's drawn to it. I'd be drawn to it. We all be drawn to it. And so he just says, well, Lord, I don't know what everybody else is thinking. It's all I've got. But if you can use this, Lord, here it is. It's all yours. And we move from a ministry of subtraction that Philip had, a ministry of addition that Andrew had, to a ministry of multiplication that the young boy had by faith. And Jesus took that, and they distributed among the people, and they fed the multitudes, and they had baskets of food left over. Because God, in the midst of a Chronos moment, do did a Kairos miracle. And so tonight, as you are looking into your heart, and as you're thinking, well, what I have is just not sufficient. There's people that are bigger, better, and greater than me. Or what I do have, you know, Lord, I don't know, really not much can be done with this. And so, Lord, what is this among such vast needs within our community and within our world? And what the Lord is calling his church to today is a ministry of multiplication. Say, Lord, what we have is yours. And we believe that everything is of you. And we commit the totality of our life, the totality of who we are, unto your ultimate honor and glory. And so from that, we move into this next verse, verse 8. And verse 8 gives us the very descriptive of what we are to be about today. This isn't a word that was reserved just for the disciples, the apostles. This isn't just a word that is kind of anchored in antiquity and no longer has relevance or pertinence to our hour. No, if we just simply embrace Acts 1:8, we can be those who are on mission, fulfilling what the Lord has asked us to do. Think of what he says here. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Lord didn't say, I want you to reach the world and good luck. He didn't say, this is my template for how the church is to go forward and you kind of figure it out on your own. Everybody kind of do your best. No, he said, I am going to anoint you to fulfill what I ask you to do. And when we fail to do what God has asked us to do, then we are quenching the very Holy Spirit of God. When we fail to be all in on missions and evangelism, we are hindering the move of God's Holy Spirit. Because he says, I am going to anoint you with my power and with my presence. Now, at the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you received the Holy Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. His Spirit lives, his Spirit dwells within you. And he says, that is the power that dwells among my children. The power, the dunamis, the explosive nature of Almighty God. When was the last time that within the church or within the body of Christ, we saw such an explosion of God's power and of God's presence? When was the last time that we were overwhelmed and just absolutely stricken in our heart, in our spirit, by the moving of God that was so great, so powerful, so beyond what we even could understand, what we could even try to manage in our own heart, that all that we could say is to God be the glory, great things he has done. That should not be the exception within the church. It really should be the norm. We should experience the miraculous of God every time we gather. Every time we disperse, we do so in his name. And he goes with us. As a matter of fact, he goes before us. His power and his presence. We are anointed for this very purpose. You see, missions is driven by the compassion that we have in Christ. We go to be witnesses to tell others about Christ. How heart-wrenching was that testimony of this young lady who shared tonight that she wanted to know about Jesus, but no one was telling her. No one was sitting down and saying, this is how you can know Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid that her story is not singular. Her story is multitude across our land. We have more opportunity. We have more accessibility. And we have more resources than ever before, and we're doing less rather than more in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I went to First Baptist Brandon, it was a good church. But a good church can become a great church. And a great church is not dependent upon a great pastor, because if that were the case, it never would have done anything. But a great church is dependent upon having a heart for missions and evangelism. And when you have a heart that is driven by compassion, it leads to generosity. Because sometimes when we think about missions and reaching our world, we always bring up the cost. We get in that ministry of subtraction, that ministry of addition, rather than the ministry of multiplication. But we need to remember that our salvation was costly. Jesus Christ, at a place of equality with God, left heaven and came to earth. He left that place of eternal glory to take on the robe of human flesh, to go to a cross, to suffer and to die for the sins of the entire world. Not just those who are Baptists, not just those in America, but people from every tribe, every tongue, every language, every ethnicity. Jesus Christ loves them as much as he loves us. And this salvation is a costly salvation that is offered freely by the grace and mercy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our church began to focus outside its doors, we began to be more concerned about lost people who lived in Brandon, Florida, than what color our carpet was and our walls were. And what about this table being in this room and my Sunday school class not being set up correctly? Well, get in there and set it up yourself. If you don't like the way it is, just change it, you know. But we had all of those battles going on, and we just began to change the DNA. It's about reaching others. It's about reaching beyond ourselves. And what I found was this, is that as people began capturing the heartbeat of what it meant to be on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ, God always provided. You can't outgive God. And when you're doing the will of God and fulfilling the mission that God has given you, God raises up what needs to be there, just like he did the loaves and the fish, to touch the multitudes with more left to do more for his ultimate kingdom work. So tonight, as we celebrate all that God has done, and you're so engaged in so many different types of ministries, remember that we are here because we have received power by the Holy Spirit of God. And as a result of receiving that power, we are to be witnesses unto Christ. Unto Christ, because there are men and women and boys and girls in Gainesville, Florida, and all across this region and all across our nation, all across the world, who tonight are far away from the Lord and are one breath away from a Christless eternity. And how shall they come to Christ unless they hear the precious message that Jesus saves and that Jesus loves them? That's the very heartbeat. That is the call of missions and evangelism that we must embrace. We are anointed for this very cause. But we also see in this text that we are appointed for this reason. I love what we read at the end of that verse. He says, this is your template, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, I don't think that they ever sit down and thought, my goodness, you realize how many people live in Jerusalem? Have you ever thought about the population of Judea and Samaria? And now he's talking about the whole earth. I mean, us? This is what he wants us to do? I mean, this is just a small little handful of disciples who left all and followed Christ, but they had great faith within their heart, and they believed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we move from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to their adopting and fulfilling what he asked them to do, when you come to Acts chapter 17, verse 6, the Bible says the ones who are turning the world upside down are now here among us. Do you think they believed it? And lived it, and gave their lives for it, for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that there are over 7 billion people who live on this planet. That's amazing. I can't even begin to halfway fathom that. There are 300 million plus people who live in the United States of America. And that's amazing. I think most of them drive down I-75 quite regularly, to be honest. 300 million people. In the state of Florida, there are 20 million people who live in our Sunshine State. We say that we have over 1.2 million people that we can halfway identify that are Florida Baptist. I mean, that's a strong percentage of that. And can you think what we could do together? 1 million people against 20 million, and we got Jesus on our side. I believe we can reach this state for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we reach this state for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring that even closer into where you live in Alachua County. They say there are 200,000 plus people who are here. And the university that is here will cause that to rise up some 50,000 more people. And so here within just a small circle of where you live, the sphere of influence is amazing. The opportunity is overwhelming to realize that here God has strategically planted North Central Baptist Church to be a church that can change the world from right where you sit with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is exactly what God has appointed you to do. The people, the place, it is here before you. The opportunity is here in an unparalleled and unprecedented way to do more and more with the kingdom and for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you may have read at some time in the past. If not, then I hope that you'll be encouraged by what you hear. And if you have read it, just bear with me. You can certainly Google this and probably get a much more comprehensive account of the story that I'm going to share. It's the story of a young man by the name of William Borden. William Borden was the heir to the Borden Dairy Empire. I mean, you consider that. Here's a young man of privilege, a young man who had everything just at his very fingertips. But God got hold of his heart and of his life. He attended the Moody Church, great Moody Church, and R.E. Torrey was the pastor there, and he began seeing the salvation of the Lord for himself and then understanding how the world desperately needed Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so we find that Borden went and sat down and talked to his parents and said, I believe that God is calling me. I believe that God wants to use me. And his parents responded to him by saying, listen, you know, you've got everything. Everything is before you. You're going to receive all of these things. All these earthly things will be yours. You'll be in charge of all of this. And you can take this and do some things. You don't need to give it up and go away and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to how the story unfolds, William Borden, in the front of his Bible, on that page that's kind of blank that we've all got there, he wrote two words. They were the words, no retreat. No retreat. Man, think about that. Everything in the world is laid out before you, and yet Christ calls you, and greater is that calling than these things. And here is a young man who would say, no retreat. I can't turn back to this. I've got to keep my eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He went away to university. And there, he literally gave away his wealth. And at that time, it was in the millions of dollars. Just his own personal wealth that he had. Not the family wealth, just what was his. He helped people. He gave it away to homeless and ministries all around. And in his Bible, he wrote two more words. The words, no reserves. No reserves. Jesus, not for me to know the times or the seasons, but what I know is that everything that I have belongs to you. And I'm willing to give everything of my life for your kingdom's eternal glory. When he completed his studies, his parents sent him on a worldwide cruise. Those of you who are finishing university and high school, maybe it's a suggestion to your parents. You know, William Borden did it back at the turn of the century. I mean, why don't you let me go and do this? See where you get with that. But anyway, it's a good idea. And while Borden went on this journey, God just began opening his eyes, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Particularly was it in China. He saw the Muslim people there. And God just grabbed his heart about going back and ministering among them and helping them see the light and the hope that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came back, and much to the absolute dissatisfaction of his parents, he said, I believe that God has called me. And I can't walk away from what God is asking me to do. And he left everything to go and to be a missionary in the country of China. On the way to this assignment, He stopped in Egypt, where there he was going to study language and be prepared when he would ultimately arrive there. And during his studies, he contracted cerebral meningitis, and William Borden died. You say, wow, a young man willing to walk away from everything, but yet he would lose his life for the gospel. His parents went, they collected all of his belongings, they found that Bible. In that Bible, they saw those words, no retreat, no reserves. But now there were two more words that were written in the Bible, and those words were no regrets. No regrets. No regrets. Jesus, I know how much you have loved me, and I love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, my body, and my strength. Lord Jesus, whatever you ask of me, I will do. I can pray. I can give. Lord, I can go. You may not be asking me to go to another country, but Lord, you may just be asking me to go to my neighbor. You may just be asking me to go into my city or onto a university campus. But Lord, I want to go. And may it be said of our lives with such a powerful testimony of his life that we live with no retreat and no reserves and no regrets. And we said, Lord, we realize that you have called us in this time, in this season that is in your hands. And Lord, I want to be found faithful unto you because, Lord, I see the lostness. I know the darkness. I know that there are people who desperately need the Savior. And we have the privilege that we get to tell people about Jesus Christ. May we go forward like we have never gone forward before. And not only reaching Alachua County, but reaching the state of Florida, impacting our nation, and ultimately touching the continents with this precious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that the DNA of North Central will always have at its heartbeat evangelism and missions. Evangelism and missions. Because those are the very heart of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer?
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.